another imponderable pondered, the infamous curtain of Lent. Exposed, unexposed, as well as some reflections on a dear friend's passing. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, looking at life through one of the most ancient of all Christian veils, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is episode number 560 of The Next Step. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take it right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
So good to have you with us today. It happens to be Vartanants. Vartanants! This is a big one, folks. Big one. It happens to be today, the Thursday before Great Lent. Every year, Thursday before Great Lent. And since we produce these shows on Thursdays, it always falls right, exactly, right smack dab where we want it to be on this Thursday. I'm going to share some ideas, perhaps some novel ideas that you haven't heard before. I'm also going to share some thoughts about the imponderable. Yes, imponderable. The big one, right? Pun pare genton, day of good living. Why is the curtain closed? Why are there directions for closing the curtain? I've struggled with this one for many years. I'm going to share with you a couple ideas, but a novel one that came up to me just the other day thinking about it, and I think I hit it right on the head. So that's coming up in the second portion of today's show. You know, the imponderables. These are things that you can't, like, why does X stand for kiss? Why are cashews not sold in their shell? Have you ever thought about that? Why are cashews not sold in their shell? Why is the curtain closed on Pun Pare Genton? Well, that and a bunch of other tips for getting through the Lenten season coming up in the second portion of today's show. I wanted to start off with a personal reflection because yesterday found out a very good friend, a deacon of the Armenian Church, Harayad Nalbandian, passed away. Harayad was a very close friend of our family, one that I got to know over the past 20 years since I came to the Pasadena area. He was one of my faithful parishioners every Sunday, and in 2006, right on New Year's Day, this is kind of unique, I got to tell you this, on New Year's Day, he was ordained a deacon in the Armenian Church. This is after several years, and I just want to share with you a couple ideas because I think you need to know about people like this. He was one of, you know, in the Armenian world, there are political parties. And this came out because of the oppression that we went through during the genocide, pre-genocide, actually, from the Turks. These political parties gathered together to fight off the enemies in different ways of thinking, different philosophies, one by the gun, one diplomatically, whatever. He was a member of the political party and actually had risen to some quite important positions within the political party. And he had his fallout with the party when, in 1991, the fall of communism took place and the party had not returned or embraced the free Armenian country. It was in the mid-90s that I moved down to Pasadena to accept the pastorate there at St. Gregory the Illuminator Church, and he came one Sunday, and these are his words, okay? It's not like I'm looking or fishing for anything, but he said that he was so taken and moved by the sermon and the way we were approaching Armenian Orthodoxy and Christianity, that he became a regular and he would be there every Sunday in the church. When I moved over to Pasadena, when I was assigned to Glendale for the Youth Ministry Center, we had a unique set of circumstances. He came along and we started doing services and preaching to the young people and a ministry reaching out to the young people. Haraj came along and really helped me in a very difficult time because he offered his services to come up and share his voice and his talent during the singing of the Divine Liturgy. And slowly but surely, he learned the parts so well enough that I petitioned the primate to ordain him as a deacon of the church. And it was on New Year's Day, 2006, that on bended knees, he received the holy sacrament of ordination. He received the six degrees of deacon, right? It is six, right? Four and two. Yes, six. I have to check sometimes, you know, those numbers. You know me in numbers, right? Anyway, 4 degrees for the acolyte. He received the subdeacon was the fifth degree, and sixth degree is deacon. And the reason I remember it was on New Year's because it was very unique. I happen to live in Pasadena, and we are surrounded by this phenomenon called the Pasadena Rose Parade. And we cannot get out. So when the bishop said that I would like to do New Year's service at your church in Glendale, this is before the cathedral, every year he'd do the service, the New Year's service at our church. I said, well, there's only one problem. I cannot get out there until 11 or 12 o'clock because we're trapped in, literally trapped in. We cannot leave because of this parade. So, I mean, it's huge. It's like there's like a million people who come, literally. That's not an exaggerated number. A million people that come into Pasadena over that New Year holiday. Now, I cannot get out to Glendale, and that year I did. Why? Well, it happened to be that January 1st was on a Sunday. And this is the deal that Pasadena has. God doesn't make it rain on the Pasadena parade. And Pasadena does not hold the parade if the first falls on a Sunday. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, that's the deal. And so it happened to be on a Sunday. So we were able to get out there and the primate ordained him as a deacon of the church. And we had the joy and the privilege of serving at the Holy Altar together for several years until 2016. So good 10 years, you know, good 10 years together at the altar and a good 10 years before that in our relationship as friends and growing together and having many, many conversations, including some very important ones for me in my life because Deacon Hudayd had also figured out a way of having one foot in Armenia. And this was I know it's very nationalistic, but there was a spiritual dimension too. He would not ever hide his feelings toward the church, toward the Armenian church. And we shared many of the same feelings and ties to the Armenian church during very difficult times. And he had one foot there. Actually, he was one of the pioneers to be able to live here in America and live simultaneously in Armenia, an inspiration truly. With our family, we've visited there in Armenia, we've been together, we shared, and most recently, it was a few months ago in October that we were there together, and we had gone to Sasnashen. And many of you who've been listening know the project and know what we did. This morning, I had to make the difficult phone call of calling the priest in Sasnashen and informing him that our deacon Hudayd had passed away. And it's still new. I mean, the news just got to us yesterday. I was called to the family house and just yesterday afternoon. It hasn't even been 24 hours. So we're processing it over here. And I did want to just share that with you because there are people that inspire us at different moments. It's not everybody's an orator. Not everybody is a writer. Some people with just their humble witness to Christ, their humble service to the church become that inspiration. And you know what? That's where we take off with Vartanants. Okay, because Vartanants is this incredible feast. And I've shared this with you in the past, and I need to repeat it again. We, as the Armenian Church, not Armenians, as the Armenian Church, as the Church of Armenia, Armenian Orthodoxy, the only church in the world, the only one, that celebrates a defeat. It's wild, isn't it? Vartanants was this battle where we Armenians were outnumbered 3-1. The weapons were greater on the other side. We were brought to change our faith from Christianity, and we refused, even though knowing that the consequence was death. Now, you do this only when you are certain that it's worth dying for, right? Simple things in your life. Whether you drive, if today you drive a Ford and somebody came and put and said you need to drive a Toyota, you say, no, I prefer Ford. Somebody puts a gun to your head, you say, that Ford is not as good as a Toyota, I'll go sit in that Toyota. Why? Because that Ford is not worth dying for. You know that. I know that. There are certain values, and there are certain things for which you die. Now, the sword was brought to the neck of the Armenian people. Deny that Christ resurrected. Deny that Christ is the Savior. And Vartan, along with Levont Yeretz, the priest of the time. Yeretz means priest. Levont and Vartan go together, hand in hand, as friends. They sent a letter to the king of the time, and I'm going to share that with you because, to me, this is a very profound, profound message. And I want you to listen to some of the words that are being used here. This is from Saint Vartan and the Armenian princes to the Persian king Hazgirt. The date on this is 451, and those of you of our Orthodox brothers and sisters who are listening will know that 451 was also the date of the Council of Chalcedon. And perhaps it was because of this reason that the Armenians not only rejected, but were not part of the Council of Chalcedon decision. And we are non-Chalcedonian. We subscribe to the first three ecumenical councils. That's a whole different other discussion, and we have that somewhere. I'm sure we've done it over the past 11 years. But I want to share with you this message with Saint Vartan and the Armenian princes sent to the Persian king Hazgerd. 451 is the date of this. It starts off, "From this faith no one can shake us, neither angels nor men, neither sword nor fire nor water nor any, not any other horrid tortures. All our goods and possessions are in your hands. Our bodies are before you. Dispose of them as you will." Now, who makes such a pronouncement? Someone who is confident that this life is not an ending. That's the only way you could make a pronouncement like that. Someone who is confident that there is a reward and a greater life to come. That's the only way you could make that kind of statement. And so Vartan makes this statement, "From this faith, no one can shake us, neither angels nor men." Now, where have you heard that before? Yes, yes. Some of you who are Bible readers will know what I'm talking about. It comes to us from Romans, right? Right out of the pages of Romans chapter 8. Okay, listen to the words St. Paul uses. "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's Romans chapter 8. Vartan, Nothing is going to separate us. You want this physical life? Okay, here you go. But don't mess with our soul, with our spirit. Vartan continues in that message. If you leave us to our belief, we will, here on earth, choose no other master in your place. And in heaven, choose no other God in place of Jesus Christ. For there is no other God. This is 451 already, 150 years after Christianity had been accepted in Armenia. Already, this had been codified. There is no other God but Jesus Christ, he says. Yeah, very clear, right? But should you require anything beyond this great testimony, here we are. Our bodies are in your hands. Do with them as you please. Torture from us, submission from us. The sword is yours, the neck is ours. We are no better than our forefathers who, for the sake of this faith, surrendered their goods, their possessions, and their bodies. Were we even immortal, it would become us to die for the love of Christ. For he himself was immortal, and so loved us, that he took death on himself, that we, by his death, might be freed from eternal death. Come on, folks. Anybody who says this has to believe it. Do you understand the importance of Vartanants? How important, this is why he's a saint, Vartan. This is why he's a saint. And his friend, you know, Revont, the priest, hand in hand. You see, you don't get a warrior unless you've got the backing of the spirit and vice versa. That spirit needs to be encouraged, needs to be fed, needs to be supported. This is where the friendship goes. And since he did not spare his immortality, we who become mortal of our own will, we die for his love willingly, so that he may make us participants in his immortality, continues Vartan. We shall die as mortals, that he accepts our death as that of immortals. Do not therefore interrogate us further concerning all this, because our bond of faith is not with men, to be deceived like children, but with God, to whom we are indissolubly bound, and from whom nothing can detach and separate us, neither now nor later, nor forever and ever. Pretty wild, huh? Can you imagine today making such a pronouncement? And that's the challenge for us. You see, earlier I said that we, the Armenian Church, are the only ones who celebrate a defeat. The reason why we celebrate it is because we've left it open-ended. This is the power of the Church. This is why the Church is so important. It guides us to understand faith not as some historical event, but as an event that we participate in. Because today you have the option. You have the option to reject or accept Christ. In other words, that war that started in 451, the one that Vartan wrote this beautiful letter against and said, this is it. You know, we believe in something, has us as the next generation, so to speak, who has to answer for it. Was it worth it? Is the war won? Well, it is won every time that we accept Christ and do the things that Christ asks us to do. When we feed the sick in his name, when we go and visit those in prison in his name, when we clothe the naked in his name, yes, we are living the Christian life. We are worthy to be called Christian. It's in our hands. And when we reject it, and I'm not just saying, oh, I reject Jesus. No, but by reject, I mean we go after the wrong things. We go after the materialism. We find the faults. I was at a church just the other day, and you know, somebody comes up to me, did you hear what happened in the blah, 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 trying to peg some, you know what? Get off of this thing that the church is led by perfect men. We all have our faults, but the church itself is the body of Christ. And here's the beauty of it. We with our faults, each and every one of us, you listening, me here on this side of the microphone, our leadership, everyone, is human beings called to do a godly work. We're not God doing a manly work, doing a human work. No, we are human beings with our frailties, with our difficulties, just like Jesus accepted the 12 disciples with their frailties. They were not gods. They were people that needed to do the work that Jesus asked them to do. So God asks us all the time to be his agents for the work, his hands, his feet, his mouth, right here on this planet with our fellow men, to promote peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. We have that opportunity. Blessed are the pure at heart. Why? Because they shall see God. You want to see God? Find that purity of heart. And we have that opportunity every single day. We wake up with a new opportunity. The church gives us these opportunities in the form of, for instance, the great Lent that is about to begin, that we're looking at in a few days, 40 days of abstinence. And people say, oh, we're abstaining from milk and food and meat products and everything. That's not the point of it. Those are all just indicators to keep us away from the real challenges of the real hurtful things that hurt God. The anger that we have in our heart. The pride that we have in our heart. The deceit we have in our heart. In other words, the dishonesty that we have. Clean yourself up. Jesus turns to the Pharisees and he says, you are whitewashed tombs, because on the outside you look good, but inside you are filled with dead and decaying bones. What a picture! A lot of times we get consumed with whitewashing the outside, right? And forgetting that inside is what is important. That's what Lent is about. That's what Vartan was pointing to. On the outside, you can take whatever you want, but don't mess with our inside, because that inside is what continues. Jesus Christ right at the center of it. This is one of those statements that is no brag, just fact. Not bragging about it. This is just fact. This is who we are. And that's what Vartanans is all about. I'll see if I can get a couple links on today's show notes, and I would really challenge you to make Vartan more than just a place where you hang your hat and say, oh yeah, today's Vartanans, but really a living tradition in your lives. Vartan Revontians. We had a beautiful Revontians service just a couple nights ago. Our primate organized this event where we brought young people, and they recommitted, rededicated their lives. Just like after baptism, you are dedicated to the church, they rededicated their lives. These were kids between 18 and 25, maybe 30 years old, dedicating and giving themselves back to God and to the church, to the homeland, to the fight and the struggle for goodness in this world. And that fight and struggle, no other way but through the expression of their life. And that's how we started, right? Deacon Hadar Nalbanyan passes away, but he leaves a legacy of doing the good thing, of living the good life, of fighting the good fight, not with the weapons of conventional warfare, but with the weapons of love, devotion, dedication. These are the things that we celebrate after his life is gone. Let's take a break right now. We'll hear the song of the day on this Vartanans as we prepare for Lent. Oh. Norahrash. That is the hymn, the Sharagan, for Vartanants, sung beautifully with harmonies by the Luis Vocal Quintet. Oh, so beautiful. I got to tell you, I listened to it over the headphones. The way it works over here is the way we record. We have headphones that come in to me, so you're able to talk and do other work while it's cut. I was just stuck in place. I couldn't move. I got goosebumps all over just hearing them. Actually, after you hear me say that, now that you know, is the Vartanants, the hymn for Vartanants, the Sharagan for Saint Vartan. Go take a little listen to it one more time, okay? Rewind that and just listen to that. It's just beautiful. Yes, almost tears in my eyes. Norahrash. Vartanants, we are coming to you on this Vartanants celebration. We're in the middle of the celebration and remembering a Vartan of today, 21st century. Our dear friend Deacon Hadair Nalbanian, who became a living example for all of us of his faith and his dedication, his humility and his love expressed through his works and his actions. May God rest his soul. Well, we are about to begin a very special time. Next week, next Monday, not Wednesday, next Monday, begins Lent, Great Lent. It's a period of time, 40 days, count them, exactly 40 days, until Palm Sunday, until the beginning of Holy Week. We prepare ourselves to actually walk with Christ during the most sacred time in all of Christian history. That 1 week leading up to the empty grave, leading up to Golgotha, leading up to his crucifixion, to his the challenges, the difficulties. And we'll talk all about that as we get closer. We always do. We have a new approach. But here's something interesting. And I told you earlier, there's an imponderable with all this, because during the period of Lent, we abstain from certain types of food. We abstain from negativity in our life. And the food has become the symbol of that. So we say that, you know, the actual regimen is to stay away from all animal products, anything that comes from an animal. So it's basically the Armenian church formula is a vegan formula, anything that comes from animals. And people adapt it accordingly. Certain people, for health reasons, cannot do one or the other. Some people just say, okay, I'm going to give up something just so I know that I'm giving up something. I'll stay away from, it's usually one of the evils of the world, like chocolates. I'll keep away from chocolates, we say. And that kind of justifies and makes us feel good. Actually, the law is animal products. And yes, chickens and fish are also animals. So you stay away from that and you figure out what is really essential in your life. What are the basics of your life? What do you need for your life? That's what it comes down to, right? And that's the whole purpose of Lent, to bring it down to the very basics to see what you need. Well, before every Lenten period, and by the way, all major feasts have their Lenten periods. Some of them very short, 3 days, some of them 7 days. The greatest one is Great Lent leading up to Holy Week. So it's 40 days. So leading up to this, there is what is called Paregentan. Paregentan means good living, literally. Pari means good, gentani means life, good living. Okay, so the day of good living. And the big Paregentan, or Pun Paregentan, is this Sunday, the day before Lent. In other words, the day that everything is good. Now, here's something interesting. According to the rubrics, according to the rules, according to the calendar of the Armenian church, where it specifies exactly what we do in the church, it says that the night before, on Saturday night, during the singing of the Sharagan, the hymn, the curtains are to be closed. and are to remain closed until Palm Sunday. In other words, you don't see the altar. And that curtain has come to symbolize the sin, everything that prevents us from seeing the beauty of God on the other side. And so that curtain has a very symbolic meaning to it. Now, the big question is that if Sunday is the day of good living, in other words, the day when you're supposed to go out there and eat the meat, you're supposed to go hog wild because the next day it's a day of abstinence. Why in the world are they closing the curtain on that day? In other words, Saturday night, they close it so that you will come to church Sunday, the day of good living, and you don't see the good life. You don't see what's on the other side of the curtain. And for many years, I've thought about this. And actually, at one point, I think I even put it out there that, you know, many of these things that we come to take for granted, the scriptures that we receive, the calendars, they come in printed format. And nowadays, especially nowadays, with the advent of technology, technological marvels such as the computer, really has changed the way we do things. We are now able to each become self-publishers. I mean, this podcast is an example of that. But in ancient times, think about it. There would be scribes who would painstakingly, letter by letter, would copy the scriptures, the church manuals, the prayer books, letter by letter. And I'll put it out there, I had this theory and still do, that it is very possible that the scribe who was responsible for copying over made a mistake. And he put it, instead of putting it for Sunday night, he put it down for Saturday night. And it's very, very possible. Okay, don't forget, this is not a cut-and-paste operation. It's not like you have the calendar for 2019, and you take 2018, you copy it, and then you paste it into 2019. That's what we do today, okay? Change around the dates and give it an extra kick by one day, and you got it. No, in the ancient times, you know, they would do these kind of things. Painstakingly, you know, these scribes would sit, they'd dedicate their lives, for instance, to copying the entire Bible, one letter at a time, word by word. Same thing with the church manuals. Is it possible, that's all I'm asking, is it possible that a scribe in copying made the mistake and put it down for Saturday night when the curtain is supposed to be closed, as opposed to Sunday night, after the celebration of Pun Parigentan? Now, that's one thing. That's one little theory out there. I'm going to give you another one that I just came up with the other day. And I think that this is equally as valid and as equally should be considered. So here's my take. Okay, on Pun Parigentan, the day of good living, ultimate good living, the curtains are closed. Curtain is the symbol or symbolizes the sin that prevents us from seeing the goodness of God, the fullness of God, and which is symbolized by the altar area and the place of the altar. Of course, the reserved sacrament is there, so in itself, it's a sacred, sacred space. Now, the Armenian church calendar, which also contains the rubric, in other words, the instructions for how certain services are going to take place, specifically says, on the Saturday before Pun Parigentan, the night before, during one of the sharagans, namely the hamparzi, the curtain is to be closed. Horinag ardaksmanan atam itrachten. In the example of Adam being expelled from paradise. Now, this is taking place on the Saturday. Now, I explained a few minutes ago that, yeah, you know, it could be that maybe somebody got it wrong. But now let's use the other argument. Let's suppose that it is correct. Let's assume that it's supposed to be. Why would they, the question then comes up, why on a day of good living, when everything is good, we are prevented from seeing the altar? Why should the curtain be closed? And here's the answer. Because it's not good living. Very plain and simple. What we want to believe is good living is not the good living. What are we doing? We're saying, okay, the day before Lent, everything goes. Do what you want. Go and eat, drink, and be merry. Eat to your heart's content. Booze out if you need to, because tomorrow, that's it. How is that good? How is that good? In other words, if you're going to do this kind of lifestyle, then already the curtain is closed. And it came to me when I read that Armenian statement there from the Oratsuits, from the calendar. Orinagan ardaksmanan atam itrachten. In the example of Adam being expelled from paradise, the curtain is closed. In other words, sin has now entered. And yes, the good living that we call good living, right? That reminder is really a reminder of all things that prevent us from seeing God. And if you think about it, now we start understanding that Lent becomes this period of self-examination. And really with that first Sunday, Pun Parigentan, we have that chance to look. It's not a question of fasting. Yes, the fast begins the next day. The Lenten practices start the next day, but it is the first Sunday, officially, Pun Parigentan. And now put it along the lines of, say, I don't know, like a prayer from St. Nodig. Let's take, for instance, one of the examples, a prayer from St. Nodigatzi. St. Grigore of Narek. Okay, let me see. How about this one? If I see a soldier, this is what Naregatsi writes. If I see a soldier, I expect death. A messenger, punishment. A clerk, foreclosure. A jurist, condemnation. An evangelist, the shaking of the dust off his feet. A pious person, reprimand. A snob, sarcasm. So he's saying, if I see all these people, they mean something else, right? Or they mean, there's a consequence. If I see a soldier, I expect death. If I see a messenger, I expect punishment. If I see a clerk, foreclosure. A jurist, condemnation. An evangelist, this is interesting, the shaking of the dust off his feet. A pious person, a reprimand, a snob, sarcasm. If I am put on trial by water, I will drown. If I take a remedy for my condemnation, I will die. I'm condemned. I take a remedy. I'm going to die. At the mere sight of the harvest of goodness, I recoil, remembering my evil. At the mere sight of the harvest of goodness, parigenton, I recoil, remembering my evil. Parigenton. You live that good life and you think of the evil. If a hand is raised, I take cover, and the least trifle I tremble. At the slightest sound I flinch. If I am invited to join in a toast, I quiver. If I am scolded, I cower. If I am called for questioning, I mumble. If I am interrogated, I become dumb. Wow, did we pick out a good one? This was very good. Let's see, this is prayer number 23, the third paragraph. And sometimes it just works out that way. We're able to pick it out. But think about this in the context of Pun Parigenton. Maybe we've got it wrong, that a day of good living is not about just going hog wild and forgetting about any rules and restrictions, but in understanding those rules and restrictions, we understand that we go beyond. By living that good life, you have already abused. You have already shown that you have separated yourself from godliness, from the sacredness, from that sacred space, namely the altar. So we have taken that curtain and had the explanation that that is our sin, a symbol of our sin, preventing us from seeing the glory of God. And we've connected it with the Lenten season, when in fact, the day of good living is exactly that. That it's not the good living that you're thinking of, but the good living that God has in store for you, that God wants to invite you to. You get it? So we go hog wild. And yes, we do all those things on Punpare Gintan. You eat, you drink, you be merry, and you do all this because tomorrow we're going to be in deprivation. But that doesn't mean that that is the good life that that God wants for you. So yes, we are deprived from the goodness of God, from that sacred space. I mean, this just came to me, and I think this is an answer. An answer to why. The imponderable. Why don't they sell cashews with shells on them? Why is there an X? Why does X and an O mean a kiss and a hug? Why? And now a major imponderable. Why is the curtain closed on Punpare Gintan? It's an idea. It's a thought that came to me. And I'd love to hear what you think about that. Yeah, drop me a line. Be nice to hear. Anyway, Monday begins the Lenten period. There'll be some links on our show notes. And if not, if you don't find them today when you're listening to this, those links will update them throughout this weekend. But hopefully by the time you listen to this podcast, those links will be in place because we do need to update some of them, and we're working on them as much as we can. And believe it or not, we do all this on a shoestring budget and don't have a staff of multiple, but a very, very nice volunteer staff who tries their best to get everything out. Let's see, what else? I believe that, oh yes, let me say that we have 3 years of Lenten journeys that we're going to put out for you. And I invite you to do one of them. It's a 40-day program. It begins next Monday. So be warned and be alert. Be told. People come up to me, I didn't know you did this. Well, yeah, now you know, okay? So next Monday begins Lent, and we have a 40-day program. We have 3 Lenten journeys. One is the Lenten journey, the original one. I believe that was recorded in 2010. It's 40 days, and it has a 9-day supplement after the 40th day. In other words, to get you all the way to Easter. It's wild. It is probably my favorite out of the 3. There is one that is a little bit more personal, and I shouldn't say one's a favorite. They're just hit you at different times. One is about healing, 40 days of healing, and this was done a few years back. And there, the third one is 40 days to the Divine Liturgy, or the Holy Badarak. It's 40 days where you come to terms with the Badarak, so that when you approach on Easter, you go to that Easter Divine Liturgy, it really means much more to you than just the motions and good voices and the colors that you see up at the altar. So those should be available on our show notes. If not, if you don't see them on our show notes, they will be amended or appended to them this weekend. So do come back to them. That's it. I'm going to let Susie make her announcement because the piano player has been like pushing the door to get in. He's in, and I'll be back in a few moments to make some parting comments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that beautiful announcement, and thank you, all of you listeners, for your prayers, your thoughts, your support, your donations. they go a long way. And honestly, I mean every word of every one of those things are important. You know, this is not just about getting donations. It's about alerting ourselves, waking ourselves up to what is really necessary. You think about this. Have you ever thought about it? In fact, I believe it's going to be my Sunday sermon. I'll give you a little prelude. Drug abuse. We talk about opioid epidemic. Did you know that by the year 2021, that's just 2 years away, that they are already estimating that the amount we spend on pharmaceuticals that will be mind-altering will outnumber the amount that we spend on food supplies that nurture our bodies? This is worldwide statistic, okay? What is this? What are we doing where we're taking care of our brain, our senses? Look at the opioid epidemic. Look at drug abuse. Look at alcoholism. What's going on? Well, life is coming to us so quickly. And especially technology is just like advancing in leaps and bounds. That, have you ever thought that maybe people just want to dull their senses because it's coming too quickly? Because it's so much? It's like overload? And maybe here's the popularity of the drugs, of the alcohol? Yeah. And one of the most beautiful things God gives us is the environment around us, which is stimulating in itself. If you look at it, just take a look one night at the starry, starry skies. Get out of the city and just look up and see all the stars. And you know what? It's quiet. It's calming. But then transfer yourself to the middle of those stars and to see shooting and these huge galaxies in movement and going around and forming and creating. It's overwhelming. Yeah, you do need something that's going to bring you down. Well, what we call that something that's going to bring down, and not to go out on the Marxist idea of the opium of the people, but our religion, our faith, is a way to really focus in, is to look really inside. It's to mellow out. It's what the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." And it's in that stillness that we recognize God. That's what this Lenten period is going to be about. So I invite you, get active, get involved in doing some good things and doing some good deeds in your prayer life, in fasting. Read the directions that come. Yes, the fast is important. As much as our prayer life increasing is important, as much as doing the good deeds. In fact, this Sunday's gospel lesson comes to us from Matthew chapter 6. And if you think about it, on Pun Padagenton, the beginning of Lent, what is the message? Jesus teaches us about prayer, about fasting, and about almsgiving, about doing good to others. These three things are going to be the outward expression of the faith that we have within. So make this Lent a very special one. Celebrate it, and celebrate it especially with your family. So I'm going to take a break right now and put it out there to the universe. We're going to send this off to our producer, who will then publish out there on the big internet that is going around the world and the planet, and people will be listening to it. And if I think about it too much, it gets overwhelming, so I'm going to stop right there. You can find it at all the socials on inissues.org. And you know what? Things are moving along, not as fast as we wanted to, but we are doing the revamps. You probably have noticed the quality over the last 2-3 weeks of our podcast has diminished. We are having some technical issues with some equipment. Very, very thankful to George Minasian, who just recently donated some new equipment. We're going to be able to get up and running with that shortly, and hopefully you'll hear a big improvement on our podcast. So with that, I want to thank you all for joining us. May God bless you, and may your Lenten season may be a truly fruitful one. One which helps you arrive at an Easter that is full of joy and resurrection. on behalf of the wonderful crew that put together today's show, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take it from- Last cat out!